Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, joined by my pro-life co-host and companion, Rhonda Branham. And on today's show, we will be uncovering some of the dark truths about Planned Parenthood and how they have grown to become our nation's leader in what has become the world's greatest and most horrific injustice of our time, the abortion holocaust. But before we get started, Rhonda is going to lead us in prayer, written by Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priest for Life.
Lord, for whom all things are possible, we are confronted once again today with the evil of the abortion industry and the corruption found in the world's largest abortion business, Planned Parenthood. Lord, we pray for all who plan to be parents, and we ask your mercy on those who teach others to reject parenthood. In the light of your word, Lord, we affirm today that children are a blessing from you, and that the origin of all parenthood is likewise in you, the God of life and love. Therefore, O God, we stand against the evil that has been exposed in Planned Parenthood and in the entire abortion industry. We stand today for the triumph of truth over falsehood, of light over darkness, and of life over death. Bring an end to the killing of children in the womb, and bring an end to the sale of their body parts. Bring conversion to all who do this, and enlightenment to all who advocate it. Close the doors of the death camps in our midst, and open the doors of your mercy and healing. Close the grisly trade in baby body parts, and open the abundant gifts of your salvation and life. Hasten the day when our land will no longer be stained with innocent blood, and when the bodies of all your children will be raised from the dead and set free forever. We pray in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. Let's go now to this week's in the news.
The recent move in several states to expand abortion for any reason right up until the moment of birth has been spearheaded in part by the largest abortion provider in the U.S., Planned Parenthood. With the passage of New York's Reproductive Health Act, Planned Parenthood of New York City Action Fund tweeted that New York can finally grow to be a model of what sexual and reproductive health care should be, especially with mounting attacks on health and rights from Washington. Planned Parenthood President Leanna Wen tweeted as well that New York's law makes crystal clear that abortion is standard medical care. During the last campaign cycle, Planned Parenthood poured large sums of money into electing pro-abortion Democrats with the promise of getting such extreme legislation passed within the new year. The Catholic Bishop of Arlington, Virginia, the Most Reverend Michael Burbridge, gave a strong rebuke to comments made by Virginia Governor Ralph Northam over the state's proposed abortion bill that would allow abortions even as a mother was going into labor. Northam caused quite a stir earlier this week when he not only defended the bill, but even went so far as to hint at the possibility of infanticide. In a release statement, Bishop Burbidge said that Northam's comments, quote, betray a new level of deep-rooted animus against the inherent goodness of every child, end quote. He went on to note that with the introduction of such extreme abortion legislation as is being seen not only in his home state of Virginia, but also in New York and other states, it is a critical moment in the life of the church and in society. And in light of the recent of state abortion legislation that is seeking to repeal common sense protection for babies born alive after failed abortions, the U.S. Senate is seeking to pass the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, lauded the federal bill and stated, "The extreme pro-abortion agenda has been laid bare for all to see, thanks to the governors of New York and Virginia. They believe it should be legal to kill unborn babies for absolutely any reason, at any time, up to and including the moment of their birth, and even in the moments after they are born." The legislation would strengthen enforcement of the existing law. Nurse Jill Stanek became a nationally recognized figure after testifying to Congress several years ago about finding a baby who was born alive after a botched abortion and left to die at a Chicago area hospital. Such findings are not infrequent, and dozens of cases have been documented where a baby was miraculously born alive after a failed abortion, going on to live a healthy life. In a recent press release, Planned Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky has announced that it is joining forces with its far larger and richer counterpart, Planned Parenthood of the Great Northwest and the Hawaiian Islands. The CEO for the combined alliance has said it will have more money and legal muscle to fight the unrelenting attempts to undo constitutionally protected rights. The alliance will have a combined annual budget of as much as $90 million. Chris Charbonneau, CEO of Planned Parenthood of the Great Northwest and Hawaiian Islands, said that the merger is a part of a conscious effort of affiliates in blue states to help patients and organizations in states like Indiana and Kentucky that are less hospitable to reproductive freedom. Charbonneau told reporters that, quote, attempts to undermine our organization will be met with fierce resistance on our part, end quote. Employees of the Indiana-Kentucky affiliate are calling the merger fantastic and saying it will enable them to strengthen and expand their services throughout this area. Mike Fichter, CEO of Indiana Right to Life, has said that the merger places a target on unborn children in Indiana and Kentucky by bringing in millions of dollars from faraway states to influence policy and expand abortions. We believe this merger underscores Planned Parenthood's intent to expand abortions, which are central to its revenue stream, Fichter said. And this past Thursday, in sub-zero temperatures, approximately 17 women obtained abortions at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. In spite of the frigid temperatures, both pro-life advocates and Planned Parenthood escorts showed up on the sidewalks there at 421 South College Avenue. The number of unborn children killed at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood for the month of January is just under 100. And that's your weekly In the News. On a previous show, you may recall us having talked about the most powerful and prophetic writing written in the 20th century, Humanae Vitae, and in English that means of human life. Pope St. Paul II wrote this incredible document for Catholics and to all men and women of goodwill on the regulation of birth. As Pandora's box was about to open, Pope Paul VI warned the world of the tragedy that would descend upon the earth when Catholics and Protestants alike embraced the evil of birth control. Every prediction described in the encyclical came true. And today we live in a world where the culture of death has reached every nation. And at least here in the U.S., human life has been reduced to a mere commodity that can be disposed of at any time and for any reason if that human life exists in a mother's womb.
That's right, Monica. At the time Humanae Vitae was released, Margaret Sanger and her contemporary, Dr. Alfred Kinsey, were creating their own religious doctrine. Now, Dr. Alfred Kinsey has roots right here in Bloomington with the Kinsey Institute. He was the first sexologist who recorded sexual experimentation on children as young as 5 months old to support the theory that children are sexual from birth. He supported Margaret Sanger's worldview of sexual hedonism, but openly broadened the scope to normalize abortion, pornography, masturbation, no-fault divorce, and homosexuality, all of which are part of Planned Parenthood's organization today.
And just to give you a little history, Planned Parenthood dates its beginnings back to 1916 when Margaret Sanger opened her first birth control center in Brooklyn, New York. Just 5 years later, Margaret established the American Birth Control League that would later adopt the name Planned Parenthood in 1942.
You know, surprisingly, Margaret Sanger was one of 11 children born into a Roman Catholic family of Irish descent. Her mother, Anne, had several miscarriages, and Margaret believed that all of these pregnancies took a toll on her mother's health and contributed to her early death at the age of 40. The family lived in poverty as her father preferred to drink and talk politics than to earn a steady wage. Seeking a better life, Margaret attended college and went on to study nursing. And in 1902, she married William Sanger, an architect. The couple eventually had three children together and moved to New York City to settle in Greenwich Village, an area known for its radical politics at the time. The couple became immersed in that world. And this eventually led Margaret Sanger to start a campaign to educate women about sex. 2 years after moving to New York, she began writing a newspaper column called What Every Girl Should Know.
Now, while writing, Margaret Sanger also worked as a nurse on the Lower East Side, which at the time was a predominantly poor immigrant neighborhood. Through her work, Margaret treated a number of women who had undergone illegal abortions or who had tried to self-terminate their pregnancies. She objected to the unnecessary suffering endured by these women and fought to make birth control information and contraceptives available. She also began dreaming of a magic pill to be used to control pregnancy. She would say, quote, "No woman can call herself free until she can choose consciously whether she will or will not be a mother," end quote. Margaret Sanger began touring to promote birth control, a term that she actually coined.
After she opened the first birth control clinic, Margaret and her staff, including her sister Ethel, were arrested during a raid of the Brooklyn clinic 9 days after it opened. They were charged with providing information on contraception and fitting women for diaphragms, which was prohibited under the Comstock Act of 1873. Later appealing her conviction, Margaret Sanger scored a victory for the birth control movement. The court would not overturn the earlier verdict, but it made an exception in the existing law to allow doctors to prescribe contraception to their female patients for medical reasons. And around this time, Margaret also published her first issue of the Birth Control Review.
Over the years, Margaret Sanger authored or co-authored more than 20 books about birth control, sterilization, and most notably, eugenics. She concocted a sinister and diabolical plan to eliminate from society all blacks, Jews, and anyone she deemed to be unfit. And Rhonda, I want to read just a few direct quotes from Margaret Sanger's actual writing. So here we go. Now, referring to immigrants and Catholics, she wrote, "They're an unceasingly spawning class of human beings who never should have been born at all." And then there's this one. "We should hire 3 or 4 collared ministers, preferably with social service backgrounds and with engaging personalities. The most successful educational approach to the Negro is through a religious appeal. We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. And the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members." And another one, "Slavs, Latin, and Hebrew immigrants are human weeds, a dead weight of human waste. Black soldiers and Jews are a menace to the race." And then finally, "Give dysgenic groups in our population, that is, people with bad genes, their choice of segregation or compulsory sterilization."
Wow, these are some strong racist words from the founder of Planned Parenthood. Now, Margaret Sanger died in 1966, 50 years after opening her first clinic in Brooklyn, and just 2 years before the release of Humanae Vitae. Surprisingly, the year before she died, Planned Parenthood created a leaflet titled Planned Parenthood's World Population, and it warned women not to abort their children. Can you even imagine Planned Parenthood warning women not to abort their children? This leaflet stated, quote, "An abortion kills the life of a baby after it has begun. It is dangerous to your life and health. It may make you sterile so that when you want a child, you cannot have it," end quote. Now, once the state of New York passed the most radically liberal abortion bill in 1970, stripping away all rights and protections for the unborn baby up through the 24th week, Planned Parenthood quickly changed their tune when they considered the revenue potential. Dr. Bernard Nathanson was asked to train Planned Parenthood's medical personnel for the next 2 years on how to perform abortions and manage abortion facilities. He had no idea that the organization would one day far exceed all of his expectations in revenue growth and the human toll of more than 8 million lives since 1970.
Today, Planned Parenthood is an independently wealthy organization. It operates over 600 facilities in the United States and partners with organizations in 12 countries globally. Its annual revenue is $1.3 billion, and almost half of that comes from government funding. Planned Parenthood's share of the abortion market has expanded steadily over the years. It performed 1 in 5 of all abortions in the U.S. in 2005, but now performs over a third of our nation's 1.2 million annual abortions. In Planned Parenthood's 2013-14 annual report, they cite over $1 billion in net assets. With over $1 billion in net assets, why are they still receiving our taxpayer dollars? And this is one of the most devastating statistics here. 96% of its services for pregnant women are abortions.
That is devastating. And you know, Monica, the simple fact is Planned Parenthood doesn't believe in the right to choose. We see this every Thursday when we try to give information to women going into Planned Parenthood to let them know there is help for them so they can choose life. The escorts aggressively intercept the information or talk over our words so women cannot hear the truth. Another simple fact we are facing today is freedom of choice does not apply to those who disagree with Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood opposes laws recognizing conscience rights for doctors, nurses, and health facilities with moral or religious objections to abortion, dismissively referring to conscience clauses as refusal clauses. Planned Parenthood also opposes conscience rights for pharmacists who object to providing emergency contraception drugs due to their abortifacient potential. They even think religious orders like the Little Sisters of the Poor should be forced to include these types of drugs in their health plans.
Yeah, that's right, Rhonda. Well, this has been an ongoing attack on religious freedoms, hasn't it? We certainly need to keep the Little Sisters of the Poor in our prayers. Now, just last year, Cecile Richards resigned from Planned Parenthood after leading the organization for 12 years as its CEO. Planned Parenthood's new president, Leanna Wen, is a Baltimore area doctor who took the reins at Planned Parenthood Federation of America late last year. Wen has orchestrated an intensified PR push to portray the abortion provider as a healthcare organization. She has stated that, quote, our core mission is providing, protecting, and expanding access to abortion and reproductive healthcare, end quote. Isn't this a curious statement, Rhonda, coming from an organization that consistently asserts that abortion is a mere 3% of the services it provides?
Well, isn't that the truth? You know, the 3% statistic is deceptively used to take our eyes off of the real evil that is behind Planned Parenthood. The healthcare facade they like to paint for the American people only masks their real agenda, abortion. Monica, we are now going to play for our listeners a video clip from Live Action about how Planned Parenthood arrives at their 3% number. Let's take a listen.
America's largest abortion chain, Planned Parenthood, claims over and over and over again that abortion is only 3% of the services that they offer. It's in their annual report. It's on their website. And their supporters say it all the time. Here's why that statistic is completely bogus, and why the Washington Post fact checker gave Planned Parenthood's 3% statistic three Pinocchios, marking it as, quote, very misleading. Let's look at the numbers. According to their own annual report, Planned Parenthood commits over 300,000 abortions per year. Last year alone, they did 323,999 abortions. Again, Planned Parenthood commits one abortion every 97 seconds. But how much of what Planned Parenthood does is abortion? Well, let's divide the number of abortions they do in a year by the number of patients they see in a year. 323,999 abortions for 2.5 million patients means that 1 in 8 patients who walk into Planned Parenthood will undergo an abortion. Not 1 in 33, Elizabeth Warren, 1 in 8. It's easy to see where Planned Parenthood's priorities are. They commit 160 abortions for every one adoption referral. Though Planned Parenthood constantly talks about their breast exams and pap tests, they only do less than 1% of the nation's pap tests and 1.8% of the nation's breast exams, while they do 30.6%, a third, of the nation's abortions. But that's a public relations problem. So Planned Parenthood came up with a creative way to make their big business, abortion, look very small. To get the 3% figure, Planned Parenthood divides abortions by the number of so-called services, and they count all these services equally, regardless of the cost, time, or effort it takes to render that service. In this way, Planned Parenthood is able to count 9.4 million services. Divide 323,999 abortions by 9.4 million services, and they get 3%. It's easy to see why this math is completely ridiculous. Say a woman goes to Planned Parenthood to get an abortion. She gets her pregnancy test, the abortion procedure, an STI test, and some contraceptives. In one visit, she gets 4 services. So Planned Parenthood would say that abortion was only 25% of what they did for that woman, who came into the clinic only for an abortion. Well, by this math, even if 100% of Planned Parenthood patients got an abortion, they would still say abortion is only 25% of their services. Such distorted calculations could be used to obscure the purpose of any business. It would be like the NFL saying that because they sold 5 million hot dogs in a season and there were only 256 games, football is only 0.005% of what they do. Or it'd be like a steakhouse saying, actually, steak is only a very small percentage of what we serve because we also serve salad, mashed potatoes, french fries, beer, wine, soda, water, butter, salt, pepper, ketchup, toothpicks, and breath mints. We'd say, yeah, right, you're a steakhouse. Just like Planned Parenthood is an abortion corporation.
Yeah, that is a powerful video. And you know what? It also does a great job of debunking that 3% myth. You know, that what really struck me as we were listening is the thought that at least two unborn children lost their lives in the time we were listening to that clip in a Planned Parenthood facility in the United States. So it's very sobering. And this 3% statistic is completely ludicrous when you consider that of all of the patients that walk through the doors of Planned Parenthood, 1 in 8 patients will have an abortion.
And as we mentioned earlier in our program, 96% of the services provided to pregnant women are abortions. So you have to wonder why this number is so high. And the truth is, women are pressured by the abortion counselors to abort their unborn babies in order to meet quota. That's right. In an investigative article from Live Action titled Women Pressured to Abort at Planned Parenthood to Meet Abortion Quota, Abby Johnson spoke about Planned Parenthood's obsession with abortion in a webcast done by her organization, And Then There Were None, a group that helps abortion workers leave the industry.
And Rhonda, during the webcast, Abby said that Planned Parenthood had given her an abortion quota. She said, quote, there's a quota for everything. So why wouldn't there be a quota for abortion, right? Because that's just another service they provide. However, it is their most revenue-generating service, end quote. And you know, Rhonda, Planned Parenthood makes more money from abortion than birth control. They certainly make more money from abortion than from the tiny amount of legitimate health care they provide.
Absolutely. Abby also mentions that Planned Parenthood prioritizes abortion above everything else. She says, quote, and I can tell you, nobody got in trouble. Nobody's heads rolled if we weren't meeting our family planning quota. But when we weren't meeting our abortion clinic quota, that was when it was like, we're going to have to start firing people. You guys have got to step it up. And I remember getting into an argument with my boss one time, that is right before I left, because I said, I don't know how you want me to, what you want me to do. Do you want me to go out on the streets and start asking people if they are pregnant and get them in the door? I mean, there are only so many people that you can get in the door and talk into having an abortion. That's essentially what we were doing. We were salespeople for the abortion industry, end quote. Planned Parenthood pressured Abby and other workers to sell abortions, and they threatened any worker who was not convincing enough women to abort.
Rhonda, many women have reported how Planned Parenthood pressured them to submit to abortions. Their testimonies back up Abby's claims, and here's one such story that I want to read. Alicia went to Planned Parenthood to see if she was pregnant. When my name was called, naturally, my mother and husband stood up to come with me, and the nurse told me they were not allowed. I asked the nurse, not even my husband? And she said, no, just you. I felt very disappointed and confused. So Alicia went in by herself. The nurse asked her if she wanted to keep it, if she was pregnant. Alicia said she did. The nurse asked, you can be honest with me. Are you being forced to keep it against your will? I said, absolutely not. I wasn't expecting to get pregnant so quickly, but if I am pregnant, I want to keep my baby. And again, the nurse asked, so your husband or mom are not forcing you to keep it if you are? I said more aggressively and upset, no. When she was asking me if I was forced to keep the baby, she looked like she was reading from a script. I remember her saying that if I kept it, it would be very expensive and life-changing. She was poking at the fact that I didn't seem like I could afford to have a baby. She also asked if I was scared to say that I wanted an abortion, and that if I had any questions, I could talk to someone that can ease my nerves. She never really said baby. She said it a lot. She also mentioned that if I was pregnant, depending how far along I was, there might not even be a heartbeat. I have not been able to shake that experience. It was very disturbing that I had someone trying to convince me to abort my baby, especially after telling her over and over again that I wanted to keep my baby. I didn't sleep for a week. I turned out not to be pregnant at that time, but today I have two little amazing boys.
And here's one more story from Lynn Zent, who is now pro-life and a dedicated sidewalk counselor. She describes her abortion experience at Planned Parenthood. I just wanted to make it all go away, and the only way to do that was to just do it. Originally, it was a wanted baby, but the counselor said, "Why don't you come back in a few weeks and we will talk?" When I went back, she proceeded to fill my head with things such as, "You are so young. You have your whole life ahead of you, and you have a young child already." She convinced me how difficult it would be in school with a new baby and going through a then divorce from my first husband. Lynn made the appointment, but at the last second, she changed her mind. She had been given a twilight sleep shot, and she said it did not work very well. I tried to get up off the table, and the nurse held my shoulders down and told me to just lie there and shut up. The experience was horrible.
You know, these stories are just really heartbreaking. No woman should ever be pressured into killing her unborn baby, especially from an organization that claims to care about women. And Rhonda, as we've been pointing out, and we just need to keep hammering away on this point, Planned Parenthood has nothing to do with women's health care. They are all about abortion. And this fact continues to be exposed by just looking through their annual reports. Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky just released their 2018 annual report, and for at least the 10th year in a row, total visits and unduplicated patients served continues to drop dramatically for their clinics here in Indiana and in Kentucky. They are losing clients big time. The total non-abortion services that they provided in fiscal year 2018 was down over 20% from that of fiscal year 2017, consistent with the same or even more significant drops over the past 10 years. Abortions, on the other hand, rose from 5,230 that they performed in fiscal year 2017 to 5,611 in fiscal year 2018. That's an increase of about 6.8%. These hard facts and numbers are consistent with what we see when sidewalk counseling outside of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, and especially during the 40 Days for Life campaigns. We are seeing days when they are not even open, when their posted hours of business say they should be. They are closed, we don't know, for some unknown reason. We see them closing early on other days, too. And we see them struggling to keep employees. The turnover rate there is very high. We hear of women coming out who tell us how awful it is in there and how they are not treated with any amount of compassion. All of these things are pointing to the fact that women are beginning to recognize that Planned Parenthood really isn't about healthcare and women's well-being. It's all about abortion. And Rhonda, I'm very optimistic that even though the abortion numbers are increasing at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, we can still get the Bloomington Planned Parenthood closed down. And I say this because according to other pro-life leaders who have prayed and worked in a community where they were successful in getting an abortion center closed down, they saw some of these same signs that we are seeing here, like being closed on days they should be open and sharp decreases in the number of clients and services right before the facility shuts down. Abortion is not a winning issue. And besides, the only thing that can ultimately come from the culture of death is death itself. It doesn't seem like a very smart business model, aborting your future clients.
Well, Monica, we are nearing the end of our show today. But before we go, we would like to give our listeners an action item for this upcoming week. If you are able, please attend a weekday mass sometime this week and offer it for the intention of closing the Bloomington Planned Parenthood that destroys more than 20 lives every week. Pray for the conversion of all the workers and for the courage to leave the abortion industry.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. I'm Monica Siefker, and on behalf of my co-host, Rhonda Branham, we want to thank you for joining us here on Pro-Life to the Max. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.